Coming to our last session, and it is so exciting that you and I can desire spiritual gifts. We can say, hey, this is part of my birthright. This is part of my inheritance as a Christian, and especially as a spirit-filled Christian, where we live in this place of there's a lifestyle. I know that this is the gear God wants me to be in, his fifth gear, not stuck in first gear where I feel frustrated and irritated, and it's always like, hey, what's the will of God, and where am I going, and what is God saying, and we're always trying so hard. There are many of us that God wants us to use that clutch, you know, to get to the next gear, and that clutch is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the gel. It's like the concrete and the cement in between the building bricks of our lives. It's the thing that connects us to Christ. And the Holy Spirit wants that freedom, and that's why we spoke about the consecration. We spoke about the fact that there's a law of impartation. There's a place where we need to respect and have discernment for going into a house or going into a city, finding that man of peace, and then discerning their heart and knowing that they're hungry and they're thirsty. And then we say, wow, we can move with that. We can grow with that. And then we start to impart to those people. And even especially when you're a leader, you know, to stop focusing on all the negative people that always steals your time, your effort. Trust God to bring hungry people around you. Remember, there was a small group that had 9 people in, and this small group leader came to me and just said he cannot anymore because it's so difficult for people to be committed, and they're all from different churches, and they're just always complaining, and they're critical, and they're negative. And then I said to him, go to those 9 people, make an appointment with each one, and ask them, do you really want to be here? Do you really want to grow? Do you want to be part of the small group? And he did that, and he came back with some bad news. He said, only 3 stayed, because then you realize they don't actually want to be there. They don't actually want to grow. That was after a year of having small group. And eventually 6 of the 9 left. But then the 3 that were left, they started to pray because they were really hungry for God. They just said, God, okay, send people to us that are hungry, that want to grow. Now, I must say that he didn't go out to try and offend them in any way or put the ultimatum in front of them. He just said, do you actually want to be part of what's happening here? And so those 3 guys began to pray together. Within a year and a half, there were 9 small groups. 9 small groups within a year and a half, just because of the issue of hunger and the issue of wanting to grow and say, God, we are hungry. And sometimes we need to be clear on this, that Jesus was not sentimental because he says, when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. If there's no drawing, if there's no growing, you cannot force somebody into growing. Then we just keep on praying for that person. We trust God that God is going to stir stuff in their hearts, that the veils will lift, that they will see him, that they'll get more hungry. But trying to force people and trying to do stuff in the flesh does not bring the kingdom of God. It's when we move in that place where we say, yes, God, what you are saying and what you are doing, I want to move with you. And this is a very important principle. Because God does not just want to speak in the day. He wants to speak to us through dreams and visions and lots of things. And I want to tell you another story. I was with one of the pastors, Yaku. We went and we did like treasure hunting. Every lunch hour we'd go out and we'd just say, God, what are you working with? What's happening out there? We want to work with you. We had this one Wednesday lunch. We went and God just said to us, he's going to send somebody to us. We just need to go and stand in a specific place and just wait. And so we thought, okay, that's what we'll do. So we went out. It's like a Nielsi Center. And there's a lot of places, restaurants and places where students can eat. So we were just standing on top and looking down and waiting for whatever God wants to do. And the next moment, one of the student came running in. And he was really looked like he was running away from something, you know. And he stood right next to us. And I turned around. I said to him, do you know what? I want to talk to you about something. And the next moment, I'll never forget it. He said, please don't tell me. Please just don't tell me, you know. And I was thinking like, oh, okay, you know what? I said, but I want to talk to you about Christ. And then he just started to shake his head. He said, because, you know, I've actually been running away because this morning very early, my grandmother phoned me. And she said to me, grandson, today is your day of salvation. I prayed and God showed me that today you can run as far as you want to. You can do whatever you want to. But God is going to send two of his servants to you. You're going to run into them and you know what's going to happen. They're going to talk to you about the gospel. And then you're going to need to make a decision. And I think you need to make the decision for God. So yeah, in the middle of lunch hour, this guy runs away. He decides he's going to run into the place, just quickly buy something, and then he's going to run out again. And he's going to just ignore anybody that wants to talk to him. You know, so yeah, we're standing and we're waiting for him. And he just shakes his head and says, yeah, no, yeah, this can't be. And eventually he actually came to salvation. God did amazing stuff. And I was just amazed because there was a grandma that prayed for him. I don't know, but we've got lots of those grandmas, you know. If you are a grandma, keep on praying, you know, or granddad. Because there's some stuff, some sow, some reap, some come into that place. And this is the beauty of always seeing where God is moving. And just the last story, you know, when I discovered that my perception of the kingdom of God is wrong. Because I was always thinking, oh, Lord, let your kingdom fall on me. Oh, Lord, you know, let it rain because God. But where is the kingdom? The kingdom is inside of you. It's where the Holy Spirit is in operation and where the king is reigning. So when you go into a place, do you know what has just happened? The kingdom has come. Where the king reigns, that's where the king comes, the kingdom comes. And so I remember driving one day and stopping at a stop, you know, robots, and I was just standing and I was thinking about this principle of the kingdom. And there was a guy in the car next to me that stopped, and he was sitting there and he was really looking discouraged. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to lift my hand and I'm going to just start praying for him. So I started to pray for him, and the next moment this guy starts to cry. He looks at me like this, and he, you know, and he turns back, and there he just weeps, and he drives on, you know. And I'm sitting there, I'm completely shocked, you know, because something just happened, you know. I still thought afterwards, maybe it was 45 degrees. I don't know how I held my hand, or maybe it was 90 degrees. I was trying to practice the method, but it wasn't in the method. It was in the fact that the kingdom of God is there where I am. So whether you go to the shopping mall, whether you go to the class, where you go to work, the kingdom comes where you go because of the king that reigns in your life. And so it's so important. You can take the kingdom because Jesus lives inside of you to any place. Doesn't matter how dark it is. Doesn't matter how people are afraid or scared. You can bring the kingdom. That's what we pray every day. Say, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, as you've already established it. So the last part, we're going to talk about this. But how does God also speak? It's through dreams and visions. And that's what Joel prophesied. That's what Peter said. He said, the old men will dream dreams. The young men shall see visions. He says, that's part of the place of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is the fact that God speaks to us all the time. And the principle here is simply that, you know, your spirit is awake 24/7. You mustn't think like, oh, I'm going to bed and I'm sleeping for 8 hours, and so I'm switching off my life. Your spirit is alive. It's working all the time. And that's really the time where you must consecrate your dreams to God. And you must say to God, God, speak to me. Reveal yourself to me. Bring your fullness. Now, there are different kinds of dreams. There are trances, there are visions, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but there are lots of stuff in your notes. But it's important that we know that God wants to speak to us in dreams, sometimes to discover God's will, sometimes to deliver us from danger, sometimes to defeat the plans of the enemy. Because I believe every Christian, you should at least be 3 or 4 steps ahead of the devil all the time. You know, we mustn't be caught by surprise, because God wants to speak to us. And one of the ways how God many times speak is through the dreams of warning. And we sort of say, oh, okay, maybe you dreamt that your mother was in a car accident, and then you wake up with a sweat and you think like, oh my God, that was a bad dream. But that's many times a dream of warning, so that you can pray effectively against the onslaught or the weapons that have been formed against your family. So if you dream of somebody, the golden rule is if you understand the dream and there's lots of detail and you remember the dream clearly, then the chances are very good that the dream is from God. So you get different kinds of dreams. You get natural dreams, which is just because of your subconscious and your emotions, you know, that have been very busy during the day, and or sometimes just because you ate too much meat the previous evening. So, you know, that's just natural dreams. And many times they're a bit confusing. You can't remember the dreams. They're just all over the place. That's just because of sometimes a busy lifestyle, like I said. So that's natural dreams. And then you get God-given dreams. Which can be dreams of warning, dreams of God's will. There are lots of different kinds that God would give us. And then obviously there's also demonic dreams, which are attacks, you know. Sometimes where stuff comes into your life and you're attacked in a certain way. I remember when my wife and I moved into a house once, we didn't really consecrate the house because we were busy unpacking and all that stuff, and it was only 12 o'clock at night, and eventually 1 o'clock we went to bed, and we just got into bed. We were so tired, and that evening around about 2 o'clock I just woke up because I heard something walking in the passage to our bedroom, and I was really thinking like, whoa, it sounds like a dog, but I probably forgot the back door open. But what does a big dog like that do in our home? You know, but then suddenly I felt this cold sweat coming over me because I realized it wasn't a dog. It was actually a demonic thing walking in the passage to us. And the next moment, something just gripped me here on my neck. You know, and I started to try to pray, and I couldn't pray for a couple of seconds. And eventually I got the name of Jesus out, and the thing left, you know. And then I walked down the corridor, and obviously all the doors were closed and locked and the windows were closed. And I realized, yo, this was actually a demonic attack, because the lady living in that house before us was a Chinese lady that did all sort of weird type of stuff and animistic type of stuff, and obviously that demon came to attack us, you know. So stuff like that can happen, especially if we don't live a consecrated life. But it says, God says in Acts chapter 2 verse 17 to 18, he says that it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So there are dreams. Dreams is like a succession of images, Webster says it, or ideas that present in the mind. Vision is more different. Vision is sort of abstract, and it's a vision you can get in the day, or you can get a vision in a dream or in the night. So you get open visions, which is a bit different, where you can, it almost feels to you like a movie that's playing off, but you are there. You can actually smell, you can be part of that, while just a normal vision is more an abstract type of, hey, you're sitting here and you're watching a movie playing off on the screen out there, you know, while an open vision is more interacting and you feel as if you are really there. I want to read you a scripture in Psalm 16 verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. So God really wants to talk to us in the middle of the night. And he wants to enact and use our spirits in that sense. You know, there are many examples in scripture of false dreams, you know, to sometimes even it's ungodly dreams, demonic dreams that want to establish ungodly principles of deception in our lives. Sometimes, you know, like Zechariah had in Zechariah chapter 10, or Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23, where there's actually a demonic manifestation, or there's fear involved. And this is a big thing for me. If there's fear and confusion concerning your dreams or words of God or things like that, then we need to just use wisdom and say, hey, now God does not operate through confusion or fear. He's not the motivator of confusion. And so many times like that, if I don't understand, I will put it on the back burner and say, hey, no, we're not going to go there. And just another big rule, a golden rule when it comes to dreams is simply write the dreams down. Because it's for an appointed time. Many times 3 years later or 5 years later, you'll remember something, and then you can go back to those dreams, because they'll sometimes be part of a progressive revelation. I remember just getting saved when I was at school. I dreamt one dream, and I went to all my friends and I told them, hey, this is what God is saying, this is what God is saying. And then around about 3 months later, I dreamt another dream that was sort of part two. It started where the first one stopped, and I dreamt the whole dream, and I realized, oops, I misinterpreted the first one completely, because the second one now actually tells me what happened. And so I kept quiet, and I learned through that, don't just run to your friends. First take this stuff and take it to God and go and ask him, what's happening? What are you saying to me? And then 3 months later, I dreamt the third dream. And I realized, oops, if I did that at the second dream, I would have misinterpreted the dream completely the second time around as well. And let me tell you, those three dreams together, I've never shared it with anybody. That was like 25 years ago, because God told me, you'll know when this comes to pass, because this is between you and me. But sometimes even we're too quick, you know, to just run to people and tell people. And then what happens is we misinterpret what God is saying, because we actually don't take it back to him and say, God, this is part, but it's progressive. So it means it's in part. So is there anything else you want to tell me? Is there anything else you want to reveal in my life and reveal through my life? That's when God comes to speak to us. And so it is very exciting. You'll see in scripture that there's many examples of different types of dreams, like the birth of Jesus that was revealed, Abraham that had dreams in the Old Testament. It runs right through to the New Testament. And so obviously there are many ways, and this is where God wants us to operate. He wants us to be three steps ahead of the world and three steps ahead of the devil. So there's, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, it says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. It simply means that we need to connect on a spiritual level and learn how does these things operate. And so there are many symbols and things that how God would speak. It's just very important. The golden rule when it comes to dreams is we need to make sure that we interpret it according to scripture. You know, I've seen like big thick books on dreams. Then it's they say a lawnmower represents this and this and this and this, and you think like, well, okay, where do you find that in scripture? So I'm a bit careful for people that just get these deep revelations as to what certain stuff means in your dreams. Let's try to keep spiritual and scriptural around that stuff. So there are stuff, you know, lots of symbols. You can dream of a lion. If you dream of a lion, it will either mean the lion of the tribe of Judah or the devil that walks around like a roaring lion. You know, then there will be like, say, for instance, you dream of snakes. It would talk about deception or trickery or danger in a life. You know, that there's deception on the way. It's a warning. Then if you, for instance, dream about a bull or a large animal, it can be intimidation. Or somebody that's pregnant talks about purpose and vision. Then there are objects and creatures and actions and different numbers. There are lots of these things in your notes. I'm not going to go through all of them. But say, for instance, you dream of a frog. It can talk about lust. Or you can dream about spiders. It can represent demonic activities or demons. And then colors can, and numbers. It's, you know, say the lifting of your hands can refer to surrender. Or there are different actions as well. So it's important that we can remain scriptural. We open up our hearts and say to God, God, I thank you that you want to use me. And that you want to speak to me. And just a rule for me, when I go to bed every night, I will just say, God, speak to me. Consecrate your bed, consecrate your house, that God would speak to you and that he will reveal stuff to you. I remember there was once we went to India and we traveled all the way to the East Coast, and a lady, she was probably 73 years old, you know, she couldn't speak English, but there was an interpreter. It was actually the pastor's mother. When we got there, she just asked some questions, and she said, how's your wife and your two kids doing? And I realized, but I've never met this lady, you know, how does she know that I've got two kids? Now I've got three, but then I only had two. And then she started to speak to us about how God, obviously through the interpreter, how God would show her the faces of the people. And she actually, you know, we were 14 in the team. Originally we were 15, and she asked, where's the other one? Did he not come with? Because she saw 15 faces, and then she described the last guy, and that it was really the guy that didn't get onto the team eventually, you know. So it's amazing how God can speak and very accurately show us stuff as to how we should pray, where we should go in it. And I really want to challenge us not to just come and relate to God on a natural level, but to understand that there are so many ways on how God wants to speak. And the Holy Spirit is actively involved in our lives because our spirits are alive. And it was so good to talk to this lady and just realize, well, you know, she's sitting here on the other side of the world, cannot even speak English, but God told her 6 months before the time and started to show her who's going to come and who she needs to pray for and the protection. And she actually prayed us into the place because we couldn't get a visa for a long time. And then eventually God started to speak to her and she started to pray, and the team was formed, and it was just amazing because we've never met each other, and I could just see the glory of God and the kingdom of God in her life. And she would literally wake up every morning at 2 o'clock, and between the hours of 2 and 5, that was a prayer time. She would sit there on the floor and she'd have this heap of beans, and she would just take the bean and one after the other, she'd just throw it onto another heap or start a new heap. And that's how she would pray, just keeping into that, finding the rhythms of prayer, and just beginning to connect with God, you know. So that doesn't mean we obviously need to stand up every day and for 5 hours not get any sleep. But spending time with God is important. Locking into that place and abiding with Him is so important, because there's so much prophetic stuff that God wants to release. There's prophetic dancing. There are prophetic art, you know. Just the other day I heard of a lady standing on the street corner, and every Saturday she would just take a big canvas and start to paint. And she would trust God for one person. She'll paint a picture for one person. And then every Saturday when she gets there, that person would arrive eventually, and it would just start to break down. Or she would do that because they would say, wow, you painted my whole life story. How did you know? Because God would show her. And then through creative painting and arts, God would bring healing, or He'd bring deliverance, you know. Because it's time for us to take back that which the devil has stolen. He was the worship leader in heaven, very creative, and obviously through songs and creativity. Our God is actually the creator. The devil cannot create anything, you know. He just tries to copycat God. But we must take the arts back. We must take the media. We must take the news. We Christians must have the best movies ever. You know, we should not be at the end of the world and they not be able to make an impact on the world, because God wants us to be 2 or 3 years ahead. And even in our workplace, that's where God wants to say, hey, I want to give you new inventions. I want to show you, so that we can even have dreams as to what the new stuff is people need out there. And that is so exciting. But because we don't ask God, we don't receive. Because we sometimes have this dualistic approach of, hey, I've got my spiritual life and I've got my natural life, and God is not really interested in my natural workplace or where I am or my family. But I even have a friend that had lost property. He lost a guitar and stuff, and then God would show him, you know, it was actually stolen from him. God would show him where that guitar was, and then he would go back. And he would actually find it, you know, in our whole city, he would find the guitar. God would show him the door, the place, everything. He would go there, knock on the door and say, hey, you must give back my guitar. You know, stories like that really is amazing, because, you know, why should we be limited to the ways of the world, you know? Because then many times we don't live by faith. And it's faith that pleases God. It's faith that makes us rise in that place. So I want to challenge you to go and make a list in this coming week and just say to God, God, what are the stuff you've been telling me? What were the words? What were the dreams? You know, dust off some of those dreams that God has given you, and go and take it back to God and say, wow, God, 5 years ago I dreamt this. And go and get a journal and write those stuff down. Every word, every miracle God does, write it down, celebrate it, and learn to walk in that place where we come and honor God for the things that He's said. Because God is really faithful. And there's time for us to shift a bit of a gear. From first gear, we must go to second gear now. Or if you're in second gear, you must go to third gear. Or sometimes even jump a gear. But that's especially with our kids. Do you know the time when you're the most spiritual in your life is between the age of 0 and 3. And we just get so complicated and distracted when we get older. But it's our kids, and we need to pray for our kids, that God would really start to manifest Himself in the next generation. Because there are stuff happening in China today. There's stuff in the world out there. It is so amazing that you get 14 years old kids that run churches of 1,000 people, that are pastors of a church, you know, because God is coming to the season where the plowman is overtaking the reaper, you know. It talks about the latter rains, the former and the latter rains, where the, you know, the one rain has just fallen, and then suddenly, you know, the guy is still reaping while the other is already plowing just behind him. Where the seasons in the end days and the last days before Jesus comes back is going to increase so quickly, and that we're going to see a multiplying effect. And that's why I want to challenge you, go and read the book of Acts again. Go and read what the first church experienced, because we're still part of that church. And when you see it in scripture, say, yes, God, I want the same in my life. I want to operate because I desire to be part of your church that comes back to the original purpose of why we're here, and that is to glorify you. That's to be laborers in the harvest field and to bring in the harvest. So I hope you're excited, because I'm very excited. It's a journey we're on. Get out of your comfort zone. Trust God to go to one other nation at least once a year, because there you're going to see how God operates and where you don't have control over it. It is so exciting when we begin to operate in that place. And then you start with your neighborhood, you walk your neighborhood, you start to connect with the people around, and you start to pray over your neighborhood and see how God begins to answer those prayers, because it's not about us. It's not about our existence and our, you know, Lord, you're here to bless me. It's about blessing God and pleasing him. So that's my challenge for us. Thank you for listening. And I really say, hey, let's make it a lifestyle of what God has called us to do and to be.